Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining me tonight. This is Apostle Johnny Floyd, and we are here tonight on Blog Talk Radio, something I've used for a number of years. And tonight just happened to be on here, started doing my show again on Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock. For those that are tuning in, you know, God bless you. As I see the callers are definitely linking in onto the show. So, you know, I'm grateful tonight to be able to be on and to be a part of something that I believe God has orchestrated for me to do. In so many words, you know, it's just a blessing. I don't want to, you know, prolong matters any longer than what it should be with the platitudes of introductions and things of that nature. But it's just a good feeling to be able to be in a place where God can speak to you regarding the things that he is requiring of you. At any rate, you know, I want to begin with a word of prayer, and those that are on, definitely, you know, pray with me, you know, pray with your brother. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, oh God, for such an opportunity, Lord, to speak to your people tonight, and God, in this particular platform, Father, God, where they can be at any place at any time, but yet call in and listen in upon the show. Father, we are grateful tonight, Lord, for the word that you have given us. And God, I know it's going to take more than just words. But Father, I need you tonight, God, your presence, oh God, your power, your glory, your excellence, oh God, that whatever you decide to say or present to your people, oh God, will be received, oh God, from a manner by which they cannot reject but receive. Lord, we thank you. We bless you, oh God, for those that are listening and those that will be joining us in. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, leaders, it is with great honor, privilege, prayer that I come to you tonight and to share with you the things that I believe that God has given me. What's interesting tonight is that I want to talk about something that is very difficult to discuss. In the manner by which I'm going to unveil this, you know, it is for the listening ear. Because it's not just for your natural ears, for your spirit. I want your spirit to be free so you will be able to address a lot of the things that God has given you. And I believe that for those that are listening in tonight that, you know, you're going to hear some things, and it may not be for you, but it may be for those people that you would run in kind of common contact with or run into throughout your daily walk of life. And so, you know, if you can, you know, grab your Bibles. It's going to be very important that you follow along with me because I want to reveal something to you, and I want to give it in a manner where this is instructable. I think it's beneficial as well. And so if you have your Bibles, for those that can, if you have your cell phones and you can look at your Bible, if you have your Bibles on some type of notepad, this is modern technology, you know, join me in the book of Leviticus chapter number 15. Leviticus is in the order in the Bible, it is the third book, and we're going to chapter number 15, Leviticus chapter 15, and I want to kind of begin the reading at verse number 19. I know I had put out some information, and some of you all may have started reading at the 23rd verse, but I want to go to Leviticus chapter number 15. It's a very, very familiar scripture, passage of writing. And so if you have it, you know, read with your brother. Leviticus chapter number 15, start reading the verse number 19. And if a woman have an issue, and her issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days, and whosoever toucheth her shall be unclean until the even. Verse number 20. And everything that she lieth upon in her separation shall be unclean. Everything also she sitteth upon shall be unclean. Verse number 21. And whosoever toucheth her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. Right? Verse number 22. And whosoever toucheth anything that she sat upon shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. Now, this is the verse that I asked everybody to kind of start reading that. And so that is verse number 23. And I read these particular verses first for a reason. And so verse number 23, and if it be on her bed or anything whereon she sitteth, when he toucheth it, he shall be unclean until the evening. Verse number 24, and if any man lie with her at all, and her flowers be upon him, he shall be unclean 7 days, and all the bed wherein he lieth shall be unclean. Verse number 25, and if a woman have an issue of blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation shall be unclean. Verse number 26, right? I'm laying up somewhat of a foundation because I'm going to be here for probably a couple of months. And whosoever toucheth things shall be unclean and shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. Verse number 28. But if she be cleansed of her issue, then she shall number to herself 7 days, and after that she shall be clean. Verse number 29, and on the 8th day she shall take unto her 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons and bring them unto the priest to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Verse number 30, and the priest shall offer the one for a sin offering, the other for a burnt offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for her before the Lord for the issue of her uncleanness. Thus shall ye separate the children of Israel from their uncleanness. Watch this now. Thus shall ye separate the children of Israel from their uncleanness, that they die not in their uncleanness when they defile my tabernacle that is among them. Right? And so verse number 32, this is the law of him that have an issue and of him whose seed goeth from him and is defiled therewith. 33, final verse, and of her that is sick of her flowers, and of him that have an issue of the man and of the woman and of him that lieth with her that is unclean. So I'm going to draw a theme for a number of days of doing this, and it's going to be covering. And so And I want to instruct you first before we get into any inspirational talk or chanting or something of that nature, what normally happens when people want you to be excited about what they're saying. I really want you to get this because it's beyond excitement, if that makes sense. So in Leviticus chapter number 15, verse number 19, starts out by dealing with how the children of Israel were instructed to deal with a woman that had an issue of blood, right? Now, with meaning issue, this was her cycle. And so during her cycle, now, she was considered unclean. And so from a biological standpoint, I'm not going to try to be a doctor in this, and I'm only going to give you Johnny Floyd's level of knowledge, and there are plenty of women that are listening here tonight that would have more to add on to this if they had opportunity to about this, because this is if you read the beginning of chapter 15, right, you see that it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When a man have a running issue of his flesh, because of his issue, he is unclean." Right? So this is what God is telling Moses and Aaron. So he's given instructions, right? And so this was God dealing with them, but he was giving them this solely to help them understand about the uncleanness, not necessarily of their physical flesh, right, but of the state that they were in. And so what he uses for an example and what the children and what Moses and Aaron does is that they implement this. Right? And so as they implement this, they're dealing first with the man and his issue, and then they deal with the woman and her issue. Now, what's significant about this is that, and I wanted to read about the woman and her issue, is because there is a subtopic that is in here that I could have pulled from dealing with the man, and I will, as God leading me, I will. But tonight, I don't necessarily want to talk about women. I want to talk about a spirit, right? And grab a hold of this now, because you really need to hear this. And in verse number 19, it says, "If a woman has an issue, and her issue is in her flesh, be blood, she shall be put away 7 days." Right? So I feel the spirit of the Lord. I'm addressing this subtopic that deals with rejection, right? And that subtopic is rejection. It's just, and I want you to really begin to obtain what this feels like. And in some cases for men, it's difficult for us to feel this level of rejection. Because this is what happens, and God gave the Moses and Aaron instructions on how to deal with this, right? And in their dealings now, because of a biological situation that this woman has no control over, I'm pretty sure that if women could go without having a period, you know, they probably would, because of the things that I have witnessed, you know, my daughters, my wife go through when I was married. It was the preliminary things of letting them know that their period was coming on. And so, I used to listen to my wife tell the girls to drink plenty of water, because it would kind of cut down on the cramps. So there was a level of some discomfort now that was happening because of an issue of blood that was taking place. And so this was not something that they had control over. And so it's interesting now that they don't have control over this, and yet they would be put away for a number of days and could not be around anyone because of this. I want y'all to kind of really, it's probably difficult for men to grab a hold of this, but I really needed a woman, but God wouldn't allow me, so I'm going to do the best I can. Y'all forgive me. So in this now, there is nothing that a woman could do once she reaches the age that her period would come on. She was subject to be put away for a number of days. And being put away for a number of days, meaning that everything she touched, whatever she slept on, would be burned. You know, clothes, bed, if someone tried to assist her or do something with her, they would be considered unclean, and everything they touched would have to be burned. Now, I want y'all to grab a hold of it. That's enough now to be put away for a number of days, away from people, you know. To be alone, you know, because of something that you had no control over. Can I take a pause there? You know, if I could compare this to anything, and it's probably not comparable, and so y'all excuse me if I'm not trying to be insensitive, but you know, we just come through a pandemic where we had to be shut down for a little while, you know, almost a year, completely shut down. And people committed suicide, young folks did, because they could not bear being alone. Now, watch this now. In their alone time, it felt like a sense of rejection, but they were being as we call quarantine because of a disease. Again, not anything that they had control over, but if we follow the instructions now, some people perhaps will still be alive. And so it's just a side note, just in comparison to, women that had no control over how biologically God had made this particular time period, once a month, that would come upon them, that they would have to be put away. Think about that, my brothers that are on the line. I want y'all to really grab a hold of this now, because, you know, there is something that happens, you know, when people begin to look at you strangely and put you to the side, and it is not of any course of action of something that you've done, but in their hearts and minds, they believe now that this was the order that God had given, and so they were putting people away. I really have to dig a little deeper here. It might become a little personal. You know, as growing up in the Holiness Church, we were more about rejecting people than we were accepting people. And that happens even today. Church folks are the biggest rejectors of people. And they use biblical misinterpreted content to distance themselves or put people away. Let's dive down into this thing of rejection, because I really want you to get now the spirit of this thing. It's not so much that God said to put these women away And we get into the thought process of whether, what were the minds of these women, you know, when they had to be separated from their children? Where were the minds of these women when they could no longer be around their families because they have something that comes upon them on a monthly basis, you know, that causes them now to be alone, right? And how folk, because they believe they're doing what God said, will put them away because from a visual standpoint, the issue that they have is continuing. Boy, I hope you all hear what I'm saying. You know, we hear now, we see that it is written here that if you touch the woman or lie with the woman or come in contact, you now could be unclean. And because you don't want to be dirty, when someone that is unclean comes around you, you know, you now push them away. You know, y'all, you get what I'm saying here? So now what's interesting here in my thought process now is that, you know, we start pushing people in the opposite direction, and we say we love God. That's wild to me, because when we reject people, we make them feel unwanted. We make them feel as though that they're not good enough. They don't fit in, so to speak. When these people they have these issues, we say things and they become wounded. In the spirit of rejection, you know, what's really catastrophic in this spirit itself is the fact on how it is church people that can whisper something in the ear of someone that has an open fleshly issue that they may not even have control over. This is what I'm talking about now, those that can't control it. And we say things that are detrimental in their spirit. You know, I tell you, it's going to get personal now. You have a man and a woman getting a divorce. And the siblings of the man, you know, without knowing the issues of why the divorce is taking place, or the siblings of the woman, you know, begin to take sides. And as they take sides now, they're not concerned whether their brother or their sister did something wrong. It's always now taking the sides of the one that is not their sibling. And so when they take sides and not their sibling, you know, they're going to try to orchestrate things that may work in the behalf of their siblings. You know, the man may have sisters and brothers, and in order to say things now that are critical, that are deadly, you know, these words that are spoken because there's an issue. It's an open issue, and that open issue now can affect those people that have come in contact with the one that has the issue, because the siblings now can whisper into the ear of a child. If this is the siblings of the man, they can tell the child stuff like, you know, your mama didn't want you anyway. And to say that to a child creates a wound. And I'm going somewhere now. It creates an open issue, and it causes a separation and a sense of rejection of what never should have been said now has pushed this child into a corner, and no one sees it but God. This is the siblings of the woman. They will whisper to the child, especially the children, and sometimes women do this and tell the child that your father is no good, you know. And they never really realize the depth of now the blade that they have in their hands as they take this blade and they stick it into the child, and it now causes an issue of blood. I want y'all to hear me here tonight. And this is part one. And so in this issue now, because the child now from the inside has heard about the mother that didn't want them or the father that's no good. And they're really trying to position the children that they would love one parent and hate the other. Are y'all listening to me? You know, just off an issue, because they were in contact with someone that was unclean and not knowing truth, they now spread an issue to the children. And when this issue is spread to the children, it creates a wound that is so detrimental that the child grows up guarding the wound. Y'all hear me now, because I'm really, this is a woman that has an issue of blood, but I want you to see the comparisons in this now, because if you see the wound that she has, you have to see in a bad interpretable conversation of what wounds are being created for this child. You know, because now this child has to grow up now having an issue, watch it now, with their father, or an issue with their mother. And these rejectable issues now don't go away. They don't heal because we're guarding them. It's rejection. We're guarding them now. We grow up being adults and we guard them. Watch the misinterpretation now. When a woman is hurting and she doesn't want you to touch her wound, if you reach for where she is hurting, she will block your hand. She's not pushing you away. She just, you came close to an area or an issue in her life that hurts. Y'all hear me now. It hurts. If a young man, and you find women that dealing with men, they said men won't be open to them. He won't open up to me. He won't share his heart with me. And he's pushing me away. He's not pushing you away. When you take that to be an issue, you're now creating an issue that may cause you now to be unclean. Y'all see how we are connecting this now? Because this is just an issue now from your flesh. It's bleeding because he won't let you in. Now you want to push him away. And he's not pushing you away per se you. He's doing the same thing. He's guarding a wound, and you got close to it. He didn't push you away. He just pushed your hand away because it still hurts. Y'all get what I'm saying? I'm telling you, I'm linking this now because I want you to look at the woman that it says if her issue continues, she has to be put away. It wasn't anything that she did to have this issue that would make her be rejected. It wasn't her fault. And even if her issue continued, how can she be blamed for having an issue? This wasn't something that she required? Was it something that she asked for? She didn't get angry at anybody to have this. And she has this issue because Eve decided that she would not obey God. Part of our punishment was this bleeding issue, this pain, these cramps that come during a certain time of the month. Her issue became your issue. And when you are dealing with people that are bleeding, if you get close to them, it becomes your issue because they're hurting. And now listen to me real closely now, because we have people that want to help people, and oftentimes they want to help people and they have not even took the opportunity to have a conversation with God. Not even close. And so as you try to help someone, how do you help a woman or a man that has been wounded and the wound has not healed? How can you, and then probably only women during that time could feel the disconnect, that why would God want me to disconnect, you know, and this is not my fault? How? Think about that now, because this is not something, again, and I'm stressing this, because oftentimes our issues are not something that we did to cause it. But because we're hurting, we're guarding an area in our life that is not healing. We're guarding an area in our life that is continually to bleed. The wound, the blood is not clotting. The wound is still open. It can get infected if not treated. And oftentimes we're hiding because of the fact we don't want someone to know we're hurting. And in most cases, we don't know why we're hurting. We're hurting. You ever been around someone and that you know something is wrong and you want to help them and you're doing everything you can to reach out to them? In our youth, in our younger days in ministry, we wanted to help everyone, but we came to the conclusion that we can't help anybody until they want help. And so how does a person want help when they don't know what's hurt or what hurt them or how they got wounded? You know, or who wounded them? They're just guarding themselves against everyone that comes closer to the wound. Y'all with me? Cover me, Lord. Lord Jesus, cover me. You know, listen to this now, because we have children, we have sons, we have daughters, we have brothers, sisters. We have parents and we have friends and we have spouses, and sometimes there's an area in their life that we've gotten close to and they've gotten silent, or they've become secluded, or they've withdrawn from having certain conversations, and we cannot arbitrarily come with a solution or say that this is what's going on with you, or why are you pushing me away? When they are not pushing you away, it's just you got close to a wound. You've gotten too close to a wound, and they don't know anything to do but to guard it. Why are they guarding it? Because the devil has conditioned them not to heal. He wants them to guard it. As a matter of fact, when the wound happened, the devil guarded it first.
And then you watched him guard it, so then he let you guard it, and he didn't have to do the work anymore. Now you've been conditioned over years to not discuss something, to not get close to a topic, to not go into a subject matter because it still hurts. Watch this rejection, y'all. Watch it, man. It's dangerous because rejection will make you become secluded. It will make you feel like a loner. It will separate you from society because you feel like you've been wounded and you have issues flowing out of you and you don't have enough hands to stop the bleeding. There's not enough band-aids, not enough gauze to stop the bleeding. And all of a sudden you see that you're bleeding everywhere and you cannot die. It hurts so bad, if I could just quit, it'll go away. But you can't die. It just keeps bleeding. The devil is making you hold the door open. So every spirit that you come in contact with as you speak in tongues, every spirit that you come in contact with as you laying on your bed or crying or praying or going into the church building or being around church people, that door is open for those spirits to come in, and it's hibernating there. The devil doesn't want the wound to heal because it's a doorway for the other spirits to come in. Doesn't want you to heal. Doesn't want your son or your daughter to heal. Doesn't want that from them. Because if they heal, something changes. Whew. They heal, man, something changes. Look at this rejectable spirit now. Because that spirit that makes you feel rejected will make you think people are rejecting you when they're not. Even from someone that's trying to do something for another individual that is hurt, that is wounded, and they don't want to receive that care, the person that is trying to give them care will feel rejected. Why? Why do you feel rejected? They're the ones that hurting. But you came in contact with someone that has an issue, and they're bleeding all over you. Now you're contaminated. They're bleeding all over you. Now your clothes are no good. Everything that you wore that covered the wound now is exposed. People see that you're bleeding, and some won't stop to help you because they're bleeding too. And the ones that want to help you are reaching out to you, but they're touching the wound and not reaching for your heart, your spirit. This is interesting, and I probably won't get to the other part of this until next week, and that's okay. But listen to this now. Can you imagine how the woman felt? Now she had an issue, and now her own people, family, because of the law, now, I can't be around you all. You can't be around us because you're unclean. I can't touch you. Don't touch anything in my house because I'll have to destroy it and burn it. And I don't have much for you to come in here and touch. As a matter of fact, don't come in my house because you're unclean. It's okay for you to destroy your stuff, but why should I lose something because you're bleeding? difficult, man. This is rough. And we, as the children of God, are stuck in a legalistic way. And we think we're loving God because the people that are coming to us are bleeding. They're wounded. And they have no idea how to help themselves. They're bleeding. They're wounded. They don't know how to get some antibiotics and get rid of the infection. They're wounded. They're bleeding. They can't stitch themselves up. They're wounded. They're bleeding. And it hurts so bad, they're not crying on the outside. They're screaming on the inside. Help! And some of us, we hear the screams. We just don't know what to do. Dear hearts, my brothers and my sisters, all of you that have graced me to tune in tonight, you know who these people are. Some of these people are you. And you hidden behind destructiveness of bleeding, the wounds, bleeding. These issues are flowing out of you. And you're trying to stop the bleeding, but you're guarding the wound at the same time. It won't heal. It's having difficulty healing. By no account of this woman did she have anything to do with her issue. It was not her fault that she was born a woman. It wasn't her fault that she now has to go through this time of the month, the cramps and the pain and the body changing, hormones going out of whack sometimes. It wasn't her fault that after she endures all of this, now she gets pushed away. She can't even be around people. What kind of situation are we in that in the midst of everything that we do, you're bleeding and it's not your fault? You're wounded and you have an issue that is not your fault. But everybody sees and everybody talks about it. And now they don't want you around. Have y'all ever seen anybody like that? Have you ever been pushed away like that? You know, because you don't fit their mold. You weren't born to fit their mold. And because you don't look like them or sing like them or talk like them or you don't go to the same church, you don't believe the same faith, you're not driving the right car, you're not living in the right neighborhood, you don't have the right job. So since you're not a part of the clique, we don't need you. We don't want you. You unclean. You don't make enough money. Your children stay in too much trouble. You know, so that spirit of rejection now begins to come on you because of an issue that's flowing out of you. That's crazy, ain't it? You know, how many people do we reject on a daily basis? How? How many? I know we try to reach out to as many people we can, but there's one moment in that day where we reject someone. And did we create a wound in them because we rejected them? Are we rejecting them because we feel rejected some way today or yesterday or sometime in our past that something was spoke over our lives and was whispered in our ear that caused a wound? Some catastrophic event took place and it was only you and someone else and it caused something in your life. It changed the diagram you think, or it caused you to now look at other people a certain way. And now you want to reject them. I know I won't get to the other part of this until next week, but you know, the thing that I really want to leave with you all as I come back onto the radio is dealing with the spirit of rejection. Because if you don't know what it is, you'll still walk around feeling rejected when nobody has rejected you. You walk around in a spirit of depression, thinking that nobody wants you, nobody loves you, you're not good enough. That's crazy when you're married and you think you're not good enough. It's crazy when you're married and you don't believe that the person wants you around. You feel rejected. You start feeding these thoughts in your head. And when these thoughts get in your head, it moves you now to make decisions that are unwise. Only because you feel rejected. You know, your spouse doesn't spend enough time with you, doesn't come home, or they work all the time. They come home and just eat and sleep and stuff. And we take that personally. Sometimes it feels like you're rejecting me, or you're rejecting the house, or you're rejecting the children. And so then as that person feels rejected, then they start rejecting that individual. Somebody is wounded and they're bleeding on you, and you think it's your blood, and it's not. Look how the spirit of rejection works, y'all. Get to one person's mind and thoughts behind something that they had no control over. They've been fighting for years. They've been toiling with this for years, not even a clue of what it is. And we think that they should know. There's no way you can go around this life not knowing what caused you to be wounded. I disagree. And that statement alone saying that there's no way they would know, you're rejecting them. And they did nothing to you. The only thing they're doing is guarding a wound. That's it. They're guarding a wound. They can't figure out why they had to go through this. How often have you wondered, why me, Lord? And God never answered you. Why me, Lord? A man comes home, has a bad day at work because he was rejected at work. And the first thing he does when he walks in the house, doesn't speak to his wife, doesn't hug the children. If there's a beer in the refrigerator, he grabs a beer, he pops the top, and he sits down, he drinks the beer because he's feeling the wound behind all the hard work, and yet he was rejected. And then a wife tries to have his dinner ready deal with him not speaking to her and not recognizing that he just walked in the house or something of that nature. And so after a few times of him doing that, you know, the food is cooked. She didn't serve it. She didn't put the food on the plate. He can get it himself. One rejection starts rejecting another. Amazing, isn't it? And after he has not fixing his own plate or something of that nature, he's trying to figure out what's wrong with her. And she feels rejected, not knowing what was wrong with him. And the one that is winning because the wound is open is the devil himself. Something has caused the wound. Something has kept the wound open. Mary just needs to heal. And sometimes it cannot heal if you just stay where you are. It's not your fault. It wasn't the lady's fault in Leviticus chapter number 5. It wasn't none of those women's fault that they would have an issue of blood during a certain time of the month. That wasn't her fault. That was something that she was born with, and I'm gonna say this because some of y'all probably thought it didn't probably come out that way, but some of you probably thought it. You know, why would God allow this to happen, and then want me to be rejected? God didn't want you to be rejected, but why would listen to the questions? You know, why would God do this? Have people not asked the question, a 13-year-old gets raped, why would God allow this? That 13-year-old doesn't recover. She's raped by a family member or by a friend, and now she don't want to have anything to do with men. Now, one person's violent abuse over her body makes her feel rejected. Because he had to beat her and rape her. That's crazy, isn't it? That's just downright insane. And now we live a life of not trusting people. I had a problem trusting folks. I told you, don't get personal. I got done wrong in so many business deals that it was very difficult for me to trust people. And any time someone would come to me and it walked like a duck, it smelled like a duck, it was a duck. I don't trust you. And I started rejecting people. Didn't matter who it was. You come to me, if you don't sound right, I never would pray about those things. It took me a while to really find out what wounded me. Not just in business, but years ago, trying to discover what wounded me when someone whispered something in my ear and told me my mother didn't care anything about me. She didn't really want me to live. And they did that and set me up for failure. And I guarded that wound for years and years and years until God spoke to me and I wanted to be delivered from that. Even after preaching hard, I had the spirit of rejection in my life. Even after praying hard and trying to walk by faith, I had the spirit of rejection in my life. And I needed to be delivered. Doesn't matter what happens in your life that causes you to feel rejected, to create a wound. That spirit is only there that it can keep the door open for the other spirits to come in and run havoc over your life. Think about it. And you may be listening and say, well, shoot, this ain't me. You know, I don't have no problems. That ain't my testimony, or I ain't got to go through that. I guarantee you, if you be honest with yourself, you have dealt with rejection and probably dealing with it now. And it's crazy that we have grown folk crying about stuff, and they're in their 40s, 50s, and 60s. And they're angry about something that happened when they were 3 or 4 years old. And they have no control over it. Instead of wanting to heal, they still feel rejected. and the devil wins. He's not guarding the wound anymore. He's not having the wound open so other spirits can come in. You are. He left that job up to you once he taught you how to do it. Once he taught you how to guard that wound and don't let nobody get close to it, you had no idea that the door was open. And all the things that you struggle with or battling in life is because I'm rejected. And I don't know how to deal with being rejected. I know that sounds crazy. And I haven't even got into part B of this topical discussion. But Lord, as I go through this, cover me. Cover me, Father, as I deal with the rejections that have come over me from time to time and day to day. Cover me, Father. God, I don't know what else to do. If I'm to need to be delivered, if I have to find, or if you've shown me what this destructible spirit is, it's rejection, but its rejection is the chief ruling spirit, and it's just keeping the door open for depression, loneliness, dishonor. Keep the door open for lying, cheating, stealing. It's keeping the door open for the rest of the spirits to come in. God, I need your help. And that's when he comes in and he does something that is beyond your understanding and mine. Because he covers you through this process. Because while you're being rejected, the wound has to heal. And you have to let someone take the bandage off, clean it. You have to let someone give you treatment. You have to allow someone to stitch it up. You know, you have to allow the wound to heal. It's covered. You have to take the things and feed your spirit, the things necessary that are visible to of the healing of your spirit. This is what you have to do. It's not easy. It's difficult. And I know it. So, brothers and sisters, I am grateful for you to come on and to listen. I want you to take these things with you. Because granted, you're going to see them again. And it may not be in your life that you see them. It may be in somebody's life that is near and dear to you. Might be in a lot of those that are bleeding around you right now. I don't know. What I do know is that God can heal you. Pray with me real quick. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, oh God. Father, I appreciate the many people that you've allowed to come on tonight and to hear and to be a part of. God, I hope that I've said something that has been approved by you. And Father, I didn't rush through this as you told me not to, and I took my time, God, and you've allowed me to even regurgitate some things. God, because you healed me. So, Lord, I bless you. Thank you for the listener. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Dear hearts, God bless you. I'm grateful. Until next Tuesday at 7 o'clock, we're still going to be talking about Cover Me. God bless you. Love you all.